1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hi, I'm Ted Ballacher with Reason TV, and today I'll be speaking with Mark Frauenfelder. Frauenfelder is founder of the hugely popular blog Boing Boing, editor-in-chief of Make Magazine, and author of the new book, Made by Hand, Searching for Meaning in a Throwaway World. All right, what do you got there, Mark?
Well, this is a cigar box guitar. It's probably my eighth or ninth one that I've built so far. It's really fun because every one that you make sounds different. You know, for me anyway, because I, you know, probably make a lot of mistakes and things, but it ends up each one has kind of its own personality, so it's fun to see what they end up sounding like.
Yeah, and well, it's sort of a microcosm of your book. Why don't you tell us a bit about the book?
Yeah, sure. So Made by Hand is a book about my kind of explorations in the do-it-yourself world, and I was always interested in like DIY media. Boing Boing started as a print zine in the late 80s. And so I was interested in that and, you know, things like silkscreen t-shirts and of course the web and blogs and all that. But I was never really handy. But once I started editing Make Magazine, I came into contact with all these people who are really great DIYers. And what I learned from them was that they were all like really okay about making mistakes. In fact, they kind of considered making mistakes part of their creative process. And they realized that they were going to break tools and, you know, spend money they didn't need to going on wild goose chases and stuff. But in the end, it was worth it for them because they were they had all this cool stuff that they like lived with and was part of their lives. So I kind of decided that I wanted to try that out as a way to live and see if it could make my life better. So I started doing things like, you know, building a chicken coop and raising my own chickens and becoming a beekeeper, making things like cigar box guitars. I'm a big espresso fiend, so I retrofitted my espresso maker to control the temperature. I started carving my own wooden spoons and, you know, other kitchen utensils and things like that. And it turned out that it was, you know, it was really a lot of fun.
I really enjoyed your book. It was sort of soothing at times and inspirational at other times. And one of the things that I think was on the more inspirational side was, you mentioned it earlier, your embrace of making mistakes. Mm-hmm. But these days we kind of live in a zero tolerance, you know, society where we're trying to minimize risk all the time. Are you... how does that interact with the DIY culture?
Because yeah.
In a lot of ways, we don't want to make mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you should try not to make mistakes on purpose, of course. But you shouldn't also equate mistakes with failure or punish yourself about them. Basically, in school, mistakes equal bad grades. So that kind of conditioning, you know, in the real world is, I don't want to make mistakes because I'm going to be punished. So I'm going to avoid risk. You know, and schools do that by closing down shop classes and replacing them with, you know, computer classes and things like that. So just accept mistakes as something as a, you know, a way to learn and get creative and come up with new ways to do things. And I think that's something that our schools have kind of forgotten about.
And it's not like having it the current way avoids mistakes either, right? You end up still making mistakes,
yeah.
Your big mistakes.
Yeah,
but at least
true.
With your way, it's more of a bottom-up discovery process where you're kind of making mistakes and learning along the way.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and brain research has shown that the fastest way to learn something is by making a mistake. I think it gets really embedded in your brain when you make a mistake and you know, don't want to make that mistake again. You go on, you know, you raise the bar and have new challenges and, you know, get better at what you're doing that way.
You mentioned the ultimate in do-it-yourself education, which is unschooling.
Yeah.
Can you describe what unschooling
yeah.
is?
Yeah. Well, I met these people who are like really smart, kind of successful people, usually in like the information technologies and web industries, and they practice unschooling with their kids, which is not homeschooling, where parents take the roles of teachers, and it's still, you know, basically teaching your kid to be a scholar, you know, sitting there and learning how to conduct research and write reports and things like that. Unschooling is letting kids, you know, get bored at home and get bored with their friends and come up with their own ways to learn. You know, you might point them in the way of projects or something like that. Like, you know, if the kid expresses interest in making a kite or something, you know, you can help them along the way. And the cool thing about something like that is if you make a kite, you learn geometry and angles, you learn about the weather, you learn about materials, you learn about physics. So that kind of learning is based on, you know, projects, creating things, and that's a better way to learn. You know, like I've always had that with, you know, like learning computer programming languages. If you just take a course and try to learn a programming language, it's really hard to memorize something. But if you have a project, say you want to, you know, take measurements, you know, of a motor torque at different speeds or something, you have to write a program to measure that, then you will learn that programming language just because you want to get something accomplished. So, you know, giving goals, unschooling is big about, you know, giving kids goals that they're interested in doing. You know, if they want to learn how to build a robot or rocketry or, you know, build a treehouse or something, they have to learn how to, you know, they have to learn a lot in order to get that thing done.
Even if that means they sit in front of the TV playing video games for 6 months, right?
I mean, exactly.
Some of the people you spoke with said that parents should be okay with that because eventually the kid isn't going to get tired of the video games.
And that's what, you know, a couple that I interviewed for the book, they were worried because their kid was just, you know, like playing video games for 6 months and like, oh my God, are we screwing up with this? But eventually the kid moved on to video games that had a lot of text and he didn't know how to read. I think he was like 7 or 8 at the time and he couldn't read. And he said, you know, what are they saying? What are they saying on the screen? And the parents were like, you have to learn how to read, don't you, to figure it out. And so he learned to read and they said it was amazing. Within a matter of, you know, months, he was like, his reading level was much higher than other kids of his own age, just because he had that drive to, you know, figure out what was going on.
In the book you discuss a little bit, is unschooling even legal? Because it's not, mm-hmm. it's not conventional schooling, it's not even homeschooling, as you mentioned.
Yeah, they have to do little tricks, you know. They do have to register as homeschool things, you know, and the parents have to, I think, provide a curriculum and things like that. So, you know, they have to kind of sneak their way past some of the regulations and things like that. But I think they're becoming more powerful, you know, getting together and convincing, you know, school boards that what they're doing is really pretty effective, and they're showing how successful unschooled kids are in the real world.
Do you think we're becoming too obsessed with certification and like you've got to get the right degree and then we sort of forget about the experience side of things?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, you look at people like, you know, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Larry Ellison, they all dropped out of school. You know, some of the smartest people I know in journalism and in DIY, you know, successful people are either, you know, never went to college or even dropped out of high school because they just had a passion for, you know, experiences and trying things out on their own. I would hate to say, I don't think that's for everybody. Some people probably should stay in school, but if you have that drive to go out there and do something, you know, do it. You're going to learn so much more that way and a lot more quickly, I think, than if you just stay in school and, you know, just study what other people are doing.